There are at least two different kinds of sermons. Usually I preach what would be called an exegetical, looking at a large passage of Scripture, pulling out the various nuggets that are in that text. The other kind is more of a topical approach. It's where you take one of those nuggets, one of those gems, and you look at it from its various angles and various facets, using different kinds or different scriptures to explore that one topic. And that's what we're doing this summer. We're continuing on our theme of worship, and today we're specifically looking at praise. What does it mean to praise? What are the benefits of praising God? How do we do it? And what is accomplished through it. So as we begin today, let's join together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do praise you. We do express to you our adoration and our worship, and we give you our thanksgiving. We ask for insight into you that we might rightly respond, that we might grow in faith and grow in obedience, that we might be people, Lord, who praise you for your greatness. Guide what takes place today as your word is opened. Guide what takes place inside of me and inside of each listener, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 150 is a great psalm about praise. It begins and ends with the word hallelujah, which translated is praise the Lord. It reads, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So you pick which one of those you want to do. I'm suggesting it's not Randy dancing, but some of us need to be praising the Lord in all these various ways. We need to be people praising the Lord. The scripture commands us to praise the Lord. Derek Prince used the breakdown of thanksgiving being when we recognize and affirm God's goodness, the things he does for us out of his kindness. That's thanksgiving. Thank you for this day. Thank you for our food. Praise is when we recognize and affirm and give voice to God's greatness, his attributes, his power, the things that make him so mighty. And then we're going to be looking at worship and draw a distinction. We could say that worship is when we recognize and affirm God's holiness. But in actuality, we kind of blend these three together in practice. But praise today, we're going to say, is looking at and affirming God's greatness. And the Bible, point number one, commands us to praise. But point number two is that God doesn't need our praise. That's important to know because we might think, well, maybe God is like some egomaniac that just requires all of his subjects to bow before him and keep extolling him. And we would think there's something a little off with that guy. Or like the woman just demands that everyone tells her how pretty she is all the time. We know that there's something a little off. Is that what's going on with God? Why would God order us, command us to praise him? And I was greatly benefited by reading C.S. Lewis's writing on this. It's not that God needs our praise. Is that God knows we need to praise him. In his book called Reflections on the Psalms, there is a chapter called A Word About Praising. And C.S. Lewis wrote these describing his own journey. He says, the miserable idea that God should in any sense need or crave for our worship, like a vain woman wanting compliments or a vain author presenting his new books to people who never met or heard of him, is implicitly answered by the words in Scripture, Psalm 50, verse 12, if I be hungry, I will not tell you. Even if such an absurd deity could be conceived, he would hardly come to us, the lowest of rational creatures, to gratify his appetite. Just like C.S. Lewis writes, I don't want a dog, my dog, to bark approval at my books. We don't think of God as being needy. But the most obvious fact about praise, whether of God or anything, strangely escaped me, he writes. I thought of it in terms of compliment or approval or the giving of honor. I'd never noticed that all enjoyment spontaneously overflows into praise. The world rings with praise. Lovers praising their mistresses, readers praising their favorite poet, walkers praising the countryside, players praising their favorite game, praise of weather, praise of wine, praise of dishes, praise of actors, praise of motors, praise of horses, of colleges, of countries, of historical personages, of children, of flowers, of mountains, rare stamps, even rare beetles, even sometimes politicians or scholars. I had not noticed how the humblest and at the same time the most balanced and capacious minds praise most, while the cranks, the misfits, and the malcontents praise the least. Do we praise? Except where intolerably adverse circumstances interfere, praise almost seems to be inner health made audible. C.S. Lewis continues, I had not notice either that just as men spontaneously praise whatever they value, so they spontaneously urge us to join them in praising it. Isn't she lovely? Wasn't it glorious? Don't you think that was magnificent? So the psalmist, in telling everyone to praise God, are doing what all men do when they speak of what they care about. So notice the two things he's saying there. Enjoyment overflows into praise, and all men urge others to praise what they care about. See, God loves us. He loves us so much that he knows what we most need is him. And the way we encounter him and draw into him and experience him is through praising him. What greater good is there in the universe, C.S. Lewis writes, than God himself? If therefore God is truly to love us, he must give us himself, and he invites us therefore to worship him. He works to elicit from our hearts rapturous praise and superlative delight because all enjoyment spontaneously overflows into praise. We can't help but praise and rejoice in what we most enjoy. He says, I think we delight to praise what we enjoy because the praise not merely expresses, but completes our enjoyment. It is its appointed consummation. As we praise, we encounter. As we praise, we experience. As we praise God, we are connected to God, and our joy in him is made complete in the act of praising him. So it's not weak, self-seeking, egotistical God saying, you got to love me, you got to tell me you love me. It's God saying, you need me. And because you need me, I command you to start looking at me and start recognizing and start expressing the things that I am. By giving thanks to me for my goodness, by giving praise to me for my greatness, by giving worship to me for my holiness. We praise because God loves us and invites us to encounter him. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Notice also, as we think about this praise leading us into encounter with God, the verse we looked at last week, Psalm 100, 4 and 5, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. There's this invitation to draw into, to enter through both thanksgiving and praise into an encounter with God. And notice what happens inside of us as we do so. Point number three, praise leads us not just into an encounter with God, but it leads us into faith to encounter God. As you thank God for his goodness, it gives you the ability to say, well, he's been good to me in the past, So I have faith to believe he'll be good to me in the present. I have faith to believe he'll be good to me in the future. Thanksgiving produces the ability to trust and to have faith. And then praise, thanking God, worshiping God for his greatness helps us realize that God is so great, so strong, so powerful. This situation I'm in the midst of is small in comparison. I have faith to trust God because as I praise him for his past signs of greatness, I know that there'll be future signs of his greatness. Next, notice that praise, as it leads us into this encounter with God, it leads us into creating room for God. Psalm 22, verse 3 says, God, you are holy, you are enthroned on the praises of Israel. Other translations say you inhabit the praises of Israel, or you sit upon the praises of Israel. What God sits on is a throne, so this word enthroned maybe is the one that I enjoy the most. God is enthroned on the praises of Israel. What are you doing when you are praising? You are creating and putting into place a throne for God to come and sit upon and to dwell there with you. Your praise creates an encounter. Not because God is unable to come unless you do, but because your hearts are not ready yet. Your hearts are not prepared yet. But as we pray, that throne is created and an encounter opportunity is established. It is in the process of being worshipped that God communicates his presence to men. Next, notice when we praise God, we triumph. We celebrate that our victory has already been won. Psalm 106, verse 47. And we're using all sorts of psalms today. Psalms in the Hebrew Bible is the word telhalim. Telhalim, I can't pronounce Hebrew words usually correctly, so someone's going to know that's listening and know that that's not the right way to say it. But the meaning is praises. So what is the book of Psalms that's in your Bible? In Hebrew Bible, it's called the book of praises. And how much of the Bible is made up of Psalms? Psalms is by far the largest book in your Bible. 150 different Psalms listed there. And what is that telling us? God values so much that a large section of his revelation to us is praise. Words of praise, examples of praise, prayers of praise, so that you and I have them at our disposal to use. We can read the psalm and say, God, someone wrote this years ago under the inspiration of your spirit. I'm going to use it today as my help, as my praise aid, as an assistance to help me get proper mindset, proper perspective, proper words in my own voicing of my praise. Psalm 106, 47, save us, O Lord, our God. Gather us from among the nations that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise, or other translations, triumph in thy praise. What's the meaning there? It means that as we are praising God, we are celebrating his victory. Triumph in the King James Version in the uses back then was not the victory itself. It was the celebration of the victory. It was a declaration that we've won. God's won. And because he has won, we can then celebrate him. We celebrate his victory. And in the New Testament, we see a similar concept in 2 Corinthians 2:14. Paul writes, thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. The imagery there is of an ancient king coming back after a victorious battle, and he's marching into his home city, and he's at the front, probably a great white steed leading a chariot on which he's standing. And throngs of people on the side celebrating. Behind him would be people carrying bowls of incense. And behind them would be the prisoners, the captives, those who were conquered. And this huge procession marches into town so the people could see the victory and celebrate the victory. So where are you and I in that procession? We're certainly not the shackled prisoners at the back. And we're not even supposed to be bystanders on the side. We're either right there behind him carrying bowls of incense, spreading everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Christ, or maybe even, as one author said, we're in the chariot right next to our conquering Jesus, celebrating what he has done as we spread everywhere the message of God's victory. So we celebrate and share in the victory of Christ. Next, notice, praising God defeats demonic attacks. Praising God defeats demonic attacks. Are you under attack? I encourage you to praise. Psalm 30, verse 11 and 12. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, that my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Similar to that is Isaiah's statement, Isaiah 61, verse 3. He writes, God, you will provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. It's the garment of praise that defeats the spirit of despair. Are you despairing? Are you discouraged? Are you going through the blues? Is the enemy trying to weigh you down with all of his lies and all of his accusations and all of his temptations? Are you struggling with your mood because of how the enemy is causing the bad things of life to be so obviously in front of you and overwhelming? Then fight that fight by tapping into God's invitation to praise, to put on the garment of praise, to recognize and affirm and declare the greatness of God. Praising defeats the enemy. Put on the garment of praise to fight off and evict the depression. Next, notice, praise silences the enemy's attacks. It silences the enemy's attacks. Psalm 8:2, through the praise of children and infants, you've established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. This is a verse that Jesus quoted when the crowds and even little kids were worshiping him. And the religious leaders of the day said, Jesus, don't you hear what your followers are doing? Tell them to be quiet. And Jesus quotes this. And he provides a little different understanding of that word, first of all, translated strongholds. He says it this way in Matthew 21, verse 16. Out of the mouths of infants and nursing babes, you have prepared praise for yourself. So what does the praise do? It says it silences the foe and the avenger. God has enemies. You have enemies. A key weapon at your disposal is praise, praising God, recognizing the greatness of God, affirming the greatness of God, silences the enemies. I was listening to a teaching by Derek Prince, and he describes a situation in which some Russian immigrants had come to the town he was in, and he and his wife and these two ladies were praising God. And it got a little loud and raucous, he said. Pretty amazing for a couple of Baptist ladies who really knew how to give voice to praise. But as they were praising, there was a knock at the door, and it was another of his parishioners leading a man she had not met by the hand. And she said, hello, this is my husband who just got out of prison. He's got a demon. Fix it. And Pastor Prince says, I didn't know what to do with demons at that time. And so I just said, well, come on in. We're worshiping and praising. So they went up to the room where they were at, and they just resumed their praising. And after a little while, this man says to the pastor, he says, I don't like this. This is too loud. I'm leaving. And Pastor Prince claims it was a prompting of the Spirit as he said, you've got two choices. You can leave now, and if you do, that demon will go with you. Or you can stay here, and the demon will leave without you. So they continued in praise. And just a few minutes later, that man said, it left. I could feel it leave. It left my throat. It's gone. What happened? Demons hate praise of God. They hate it. And the scripture says that he will silence the enemy. He will silence the foe through our praise. Next notice. Praise prepares the way for God's supernatural intervention. Do you need supernatural intervention? Praise prepares the way for God's supernatural intervention. And because of time, I'll just mention these, and we won't read them, but read them later. 2 Chronicles 20. It's a story of King Jehoshaphat, where he's under attack. Three armies had aligned themselves, were marching against him. He's forewarned that they're on the way, and he knows he's not strong enough to defeat them. So what does he do? He goes to God in prayer. And in this season of prayer and praising of God, the prophet receives a message of instruction and says, this is not your fight, this is my fight. So the king appoints worship leaders and praise leaders. They lead the people out of town towards this advancing enemy. And as they are praising God, the Lord causes those enemies to turn on one another. The alliance broke down, and soon those three that were coming against Israel now fighting against each other until everyone is killed off. And by the time the king and his people get there, they see nothing but dead bodies and plunder to be carried back in victory. The same thing happened in the day of Jonah. Jonah chapter 2 records his prayer. He's in the belly of the fish. And what's he do there? He starts praying. And there's 8 verses of his prayer. But the last line of his prayer is, but I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord. It's in that last statement of his praising prayer that the fish can't hold him any longer and spews him out. Praise opens the way for supernatural intervention. Whether it's an enemy being killed off or a whale's mouth being opened, or this one from Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas were mobbed, were attacked, were arrested, were put into the deep inner prison. And there about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. They were praising God. And the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were unfastened. The praise released the supernatural intervention. What are you facing? Is it a prison? Is it a deep whale? Is it an enemy approaching? Praise the greatness of God. How could you do that? Because praise is a sacrifice. Praise is something we do even when we don't feel it. Hebrews 13:15, through him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. In spite of circumstances, in spite of pains, in spite of heartaches and difficulties, we praise. And lastly, we praise because he has saved us. That's what it's all about. The circumstances he delivers us from, the things he does to silence the enemy around us, those are wonderful blessings, but the ultimate is that he rescues us. He saves us. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. My friends, let's praise the Lord. Let's recognize his greatness. Let's do so not out of a sense of obligation, but out of a sense of delight that he invites us to encounter him, to focus on him. And as we recognize and affirm and declare his greatness, he's pouring blessing into us. More importantly, he's pouring himself into us. Encountering God is opened up through praise. Let's pray together. Oh, Heavenly Father, we are so in awe of your goodness. We're so amazed that you would invite us, even command us to praise you, not because you're egotistical, but because you know what we most need is you. And it is in praising you that our eyes are opened, our faith is lifted, our ability to see and hear and respond is made real, Lord. So we praise you because we want you. We praise you because you want us to be in an encounter with you. We praise you because you love us and you save us. You rescue us. And Lord, whether things are going well or things are difficult, yet we will praise you. We'll bring a sacrifice of praise. We'll bring lips that declare your greatness. We'll turn our attention towards you and away from the things that try to consume. We will be men and women who praise the greatness of our God. Worthy are you to be praised. We pray this in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen.